Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
A note of warning. This podcast explores graphic and disturbing stories and includes strong language. It therefore may not be suitable for our young listeners or other folks who may find it disturbing. Welcome to True Crime Daily, the podcast. I'm Billy Jensen. This is Owen Michael, bringing you your weekly True Crime Daily for the week of March 7th, 2019. This week, a Texas businesswoman goes missing and her husband is arrested. An Alabama girl is found dead 200 yards away, 12 hours after disappearing from her family's house. Two Florida sisters are caught years after committing, quote-unquote, the perfect murder. But first, we have an abduction and murder out of Boston.
Unfortunately so. Jassy Correa was last seen alive leaving a nightclub in Boston in the early morning hours of February 24th. The single mother had been celebrating her 23rd birthday. She was seen on surveillance video talking to a man later identified as 32-year-old Lewis Coleman. Video shows them walking away together. 2 hours later, video shows Coleman parking his car in Providence, Rhode Island, about 4:15 a.m. He's seen carrying a body into an apartment building. Providence, Rhode Island to Boston. You've spent time there?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
No, it was an hour and a half.
I mean, especially late at night, you know, you can do that pretty quickly. So.
That's all part of the region there.
Yeah, and you know, it's weird because A, we've got cameras on both places, which is great. It reminds me of a story I did in the nanny. I don't know if you remember the Swedish nanny who was at a Boston.
It was one of the first ones. Yeah, she 1996,
was. Yeah, she was at a Boston bar. She goes missing. They only have a little bit of video of her, and then she's found a few days later, cut in half in a dumpster. Actually, only one of her pieces was
still
found.
Unsolved, isn't it?
Still unsolved, and I worked that case, and it is, you know, I remember cursing it because there weren't as many cameras as there should have been. This is great though because we not only have cameras of this guy outside of the club, which actually reminds me also of Jesse Matthew in Charlottesville when he took Hannah. But, you know, carrying the body into the apartment building.
Isn't Boston one of these cities now, too, that is a lot of security cameras, like London style?
It's not really London style. I mean, they're trying to do initiatives in it.
It's a smaller town anyway.
You know, inside, you know, and even inside the building, surveillance video shows Coleman dragging a topless woman to the elevator and then to his apartment door. And then he makes the typical killer move of buying protective suits, duct tape, a mask, surgical gloves, safety goggles, a respirator, bleach, and candles all at the same time, at Walmart.
Right. Protective suits I guess it's the Tyvek type of thing. But that particular combination, you could be doing a little home improvement, or it often seems that these serial killers or murderers pick this stuff up. So 2 days later, surveillance video catches him buying this stuff So he had her, police believe they had her, he had her in the apartment for those 2 days while he was plotting to do this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, her family had reported her missing.
And then he's seen on Thursday lifting a heavy suitcase into the trunk of a red sedan. And then the police, because they had seen the video and zeroed in on him from Boston, get a search warrant to search his apartment, but he's gone.
Right.
They track down the red sedan on I-95 in Delaware and pull him over, and he cops to it right away. He says, she's in the trunk.
They, so he's caught on video putting this suitcase into the trunk. It's obviously in the early morning hours because the description of it is that he's having trouble loading it into the trunk. So he's sort of trying to be surreptitious about this. She's in the trunk, as you say. The trooper asked if anybody else was in the car, and he copped to it. They had a pretty good idea he was the guy when they tracked him down. So inside the trunk, they popped the trunk. Inside the trunk, they found a suitcase. Inside the suitcase was a sofa cushion in a plastic bag. And police had noted that there was a sofa cushion missing from the apartment during their search. This cushion inside this suitcase, they found the body of Jassy Correa. She was bound with duct tape. She had blood and bruising around her face, and she was covered with what appeared to be baking soda,
which she probably was using for the smell.
Also, pruning shears, a gas container, a lighter, and gloves also found in the car. He's currently charged with kidnapping resulting in death, and this is obviously still developing. Unfortunate story.
Yeah. So, again, you see it often with people that are out at clubs. You know, she was a single mother. She'd been celebrating her 23rd
it's
birthday.
Tragic.
She meets a guy at a club. When you're out celebrating, there's, of the two women that were, that this similar thing happened to in Charlottesville, one of the moms started this thing called Save the Next Girl, which is about trying to never leaving. Even if somebody says, I met this great guy, he's great and everything like that, always leave with the same amount of people that you come with and make sure they get home. So you're saving the next girl. Get the guy's number, do a background check on him when you get home, do all that stuff.
I mean, we still have the case of Savannah Spurlock out of Kentucky, who's still missing. And mm-hmm. She was seen leaving a bar, but there was a little bit more. She had talked on the phone and that kind of stuff. There's a little bit more of a trace. But it's scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got another mother who has gone missing. Andrean McDonald, a 29-year-old businesswoman, was reported missing in the San Antonio area last Friday. She didn't show up at the assisted living facility, which she actually owned, nor at the gym where she normally works out. Her husband, Andre McDonald, who was 40 years old, was arrested 2 days later for tampering with evidence in connection with her disappearance. And there were traces of blood found in the McDonald home.
Also, receipts, and unclear if there's video to this, but Andre McDonald had bought an axe, a shovel, gas cans, trash bags, heavy-duty trash bags, sheriff's officials said. Andreen, as we said, she's 29, she had reportedly told a friend many times that if she ever went missing, it would be her husband who had killed her. that's awful. They have a daughter. First of all, they do have a 7-year-old daughter together. The sheriff said the daughter may have witnessed this alleged crime, but the daughter is autistic and mostly nonverbal. However, an employee of Andreen's who knows the couple well, she said the daughter told a staffer at school, "Daddy hurt mommy." So it's there's obviously some damning evidence here. And
mind you, just out of the Watts case too. The
which one?
The case in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Watts, right.
Christopher Watts,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where apparently the daughter came in and said, "What are you doing to mommy?" while he was
this week's,
choking mommy.
Right.
That's the stuff that came out today and or this week.
Right.
And then he killed the daughter. Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
Well, to slightly expand on that, there was some detail that I read yesterday, and I believe that he told his daughter, "We're taking mommy to the hospital." Somehow got it's speculation, but he may have gotten both the daughters into the car and then driven them to the location and then did it there, which is, anyway, we digress, but
so
it's awful.
Two friends of Andreen's went to her house to check on her. They go through an unlocked door. They find blood and hair on a light switch, and then they find a zipper in the backyard. in an area that looked like had been burned by fire.
Yeah, it sounds so like it was a fire pit.
What he was doing from a fire pit type of thing. Andre had filed for divorce in February 2017, but he withdrew the petition a few months later. And then the couple moved into a larger house 2 months after that. So it seemed like it had gotten better.
Maybe they needed a little more space physically. Who can say? That's speculation at this point.
So he's on $2 million bond. The Texas Search and Rescue are still looking for her. Maybe they'll get Texas Equisearch involved as well. But we might also, if there was burning, maybe he'd just burn the clothes and he buried the body. Maybe he tried to burn the entire body, but they would have found.
I was going to say, you probably know more about that than I do, but it's really hard to burn
an entire body
and not leave any sort of, even if you remove the remains after the fact, there'd be some sort of DNA evidence or something like that.
That's why people often use pigs. Because they eat everything. Sorry.
I thought that was just in the movie.
No.
They also said that they're using statistical analysis, and I read a little bit about this, that, probabilities of where hikers would go versus where, if you were trying to not be found.
Right.
There's no such thing as random type stuff. You're going to be inclined to go a certain way based on your body and who you are and how well you know the area. Anyway, they're going into it scientifically, and apparently there's quite a lot of volunteers, and everybody is looking for her. She's still missing.
Yeah, no, she's still missing.
He's held on $2 million.
Fingers crossed that potentially she's alive, but it doesn't look good.
Indeed.
Again, we have another story of a female who goes missing, this time Amberly Barnett. She was 11 years old, and 12 hours after she was reported missing in Alabama, she was found dead.
And they 200 got yards away from where she went missing. So she was found in a wooded area behind Christopher Madison's house. Christopher Madison, 33 years old. He's been arrested and charged with capital murder. They don't have a motive. But Amberly Barnett was staying with she was at her aunt's house, and other family members were there. She was reported missing from her aunt's house Friday. Her family had gone to the local Walmart. When they got back, she was missing. They reported her missing about 6 p.m. Her mother said her phone, Amberly's phone, was still in the house. And like any 11-year-old kid or any teenager, for that matter, she said Amberly would not have left without her phone. Witnesses told police that a dark-colored SUV had been outside the house while the family was away. So they quickly arrested Christopher Madison. It's not unclear what led them to him, but he reportedly was caught with, they also found methamphetamine and a syringe on him when they caught him. He does not appear to have a criminal history in Alabama or Georgia, where he lived previously. But last year, a woman had sought a protective order against this Christopher Madison. She accused him of hitting her in the head with a hammer, beating her, and choking her to the point of passing out. The petition for the protective order was dismissed by a judge when neither this woman nor Madison showed up to court for the hearing, tragically. Police say Amberly was strangled, according to the initial autopsy. So he's being held without bond right now. That's how quickly it happens.
Now we're going to stay in the South and hit up Florida, which is a consistent source of true crime news.
A deep well of true crime content.
I call it the Long Island of the 2000s, because Long Island used to be the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one was described as the perfect crime.
As the perfect murder. So two sisters in Florida are in custody this week after being arrested for killing their father. Now, their 85-year-old dad died in Tampa on his couch in 2015, apparently of natural causes, except he was murdered. His daughters are 61 and 63 years old. They were at home. They were at home with him at the time. And prosecutors said they first tried him to swallow sleeping pills with an excess of alcohol, but that didn't work because the alcohol
diluted
the sleeping pills, which is
counterintuitive.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. I think both of us, when we read this, were just like, wow, alcohol did something good for once. They tried smothering him with a pillow, and then he was still alive. Oh, this poor man. And then they stuffed a rag down his throat, pinched his nose, and held his arms down until he died on the couch.
That's what prosecutors say. One of the sisters reportedly that night had given her adult daughter. Apparently, they were staying with this father. She had given her adult daughter sleeping pills so she wouldn't interrupt them. Not in a fatal dose. She just made sure that the daughter was fast asleep when this allegedly occurred. So, why were these sisters arrested this week? Well, a man that they had both had a sexual relationship with.
Love triangle.
He went to police with a recording from one of the sisters confessing. That man then helped investigators and secretly recorded both women talking about the crime in detail.
So that he's the hero of this case. Right?
Indeed. Here. He did the right thing. Then he got both of them, as you referred to it, a wire case.
Yeah, that should be a wire case. Yeah, because there would have been no way to prove this without a wire.
It's as the sheriff said, this was the perfect murder because there was no sign of foul play. The dad already had cancer and dementia. He was 85. And the sister said he was going to die in a few months anyway and didn't want to go to an assisted living facility. They allegedly agreed to euthanize their dad. That's their words. And that matters because they weren't trying to murder him. They were, allegedly they weren't trying to be cruel. Allegedly, the word euthanize, meaning obviously
sure.
put away humanely.
Right. So, that's going to be what their argument is.
Sure. And apparently they admitted to police once they were confronted and arrested here. They sold their dad's estate. They split the profits. They gave some of the money to the brother, but he was not involved with the plot.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we talked about a lot about DNA and how familial DNA is helping solve all these crimes like the Golden State Killer, and now the dominoes are falling. But the majority of crimes that can be solved is this way, where somebody knows something and they don't feel right about it, and they say, you know what, I'm going to go to the police. They wear a wire, and then they do it. Obviously, you got to do it all in the up and up with get the police involved. But this is because there's not going to be DNA in every case. The majority of cases don't have DNA.
No signs of foul play, as they say. I'd like to know a little bit more about. It's unclear whether he was sort of two-timing with both of them. If this was
maybe he thought he was going to catch one of them, and then he had to catch both of them at the same time. Maybe he just wanted to get out of that situation where he's two-time with both of them. I mean, listen, he's not completely innocent in this whole thing, but at least he did the right thing, and that's the bottom line. He did the right thing.
A Florida man. Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And he
right.
is a Florida man.
This is Linda Roberts and Mary Beth Tomaselli. They're both charged with first-degree murder. Before we get into comments, I'd also like to point out there was a case in Baltimore as well. I didn't add it to our list, but where a father and his stepdaughter were charged with murder this week. A woman was stabbed to death in her car, and allegedly the stepdaughter and the woman who was killed, her husband, they told police that they stopped to roll down the window and help a panhandler out, and this panhandler
stabbed
this woman in the chest, killing her. They've now been charged with murder for staging this thing, and it never happened. So yet again, a little bit of justice here with we'll see how it turns out when a story falls apart.
And how that affects, too, panhandlers. I mean, these people are down on their luck. They're just trying to get a little bit
of
money. And now a lot of people are not going to roll down their windows because they remember. And the clarification story, this wasn't as big as, say, Jussie Smollett, as that still shakes out. But it's like the clarification story is not as big as the original story.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hoax, so.
And, obviously they engineered that story because there is already sort of a – people feel a little sketchy about dealing with panhandlers sometimes. But, this was unfortunately – they're charged with murder, and that's fortunate, and it looks like they are caught dead to rights.
So here's the comments. And for the comments, we try to go with a little bit lighter story. We've seen a lot because we are at the very tail end of the Girl Scout selling season,
Indeed.
The Girl Scout cookie selling season.
Did you buy boxes this year?
I did not buy boxes this year, no. They're not. There's too many carbs. So when they have jerky, I'll buy them. So in Seattle, the Girl Scouts are selling cookies outside of a grocery store. This guy comes up and buys cookies, and then he comes back and returns them. And then he buys some more and then he returns them. First of all, who returns Girl Scout cookies?
Girl Scout cookies.
And then ultimately...
No, seriously. Like, who's ever in the history of Girl Scout cookies done that? Girl Scout cookies are delicious.
Yeah. Ultimately, he... multiple times he did this, he returns them again and then robs them. And...
Right.
The adult who was with the girls outside of the Northgate QFC store said, quote, "I saw him out of the corner of my eye walking towards us, and I was like, I guess he's going to get more cookies. And he started running, and he pushed past one of the girls and grabbed the money. And there was $600 in that bin.
A good haul that day.
That is a good haul. So
they caught him, by the way.
They caught him. Yes, we had his picture up on our social and on truecrimedaily.com. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we had a lot of people complaining about the video being poor, but we did catch him, which was good. So some people, Barbara D, went for the easy story, calling him the cookie monster.
I didn't think of that.
That's it. Rebecca D said, "Man, the Girl Scouts are in the news this year, from dope dealers buying them out to junkies robbing them to them jumping ship and joining the Boy Scouts, because as you know, they're taking off the girl from Girl Scouts, and the Boy Scouts are like, hey, you have the cookies, give us something, you know." So
a lot of strong opinions on that.
A lot of strong opinions out there, and this was a case that I'm glad it got fixed. Maribel C. said, "Well, at least the last guy on the cookie news bought them. And I'm sure the parents never complained." That was the last guy. Remember the guy that bought the cookies? He bought everybody's cookies when it was really cold out and it was raining. And then it turns out he had a warrant for his arrest.
No good deed. That's right. He bought $540 worth of Girl Scout cookies. He said, "You girls get out of the cold." The next day, they arrested him on federal drug charges.
Yeah. So Maribel went on to say, "Seriously, this cookie sale really needs to stop, especially if you have your little girls out selling. Just my personal opinion." And Carlos D. says exactly what I said. Who the F would let someone return cookies? Isn't there an all sales are final in Girl Scouts?
Well, you know, they seem like nice people, so they tried to do a nice thing, I guess. I wonder whether more Girl Scout cookies are sold in offices by parents than actually in front of the grocery stores. Interested, maybe this will drive
I always see them.
Office.
I always see them at Trader Joe's.
They came to my house. They went around the thing.
They went around the thing.
with dragging a little radio flyer wagon behind. Uh-huh. That same question.
Well, they didn't get the text alert either.
My neighborhood's pretty safe.
All right. So that's the news for this week. Check out our content on YouTube and Facebook and truecrimedaily.com. Again, we have more comments than anyone in true crime. So there's a lot of discussion going on our Facebook page and on the YouTube channel.
A lot of good content.
And don't forget to download this weekly podcast on Stitcher or iTunes or wherever you get your audio. Mm-hmm. So until next week, this is True Crime Daily, the podcast reminding you,
don't do crimes.